There's growing concern today about the number of cases of COVID-19 in the community. GPs are reporting an increase in referrals for testing, a feature which usually precedes a rise in cases. Meanwhile, the vaccination of people over the age of 75, as well as those with serious health conditions, is continuing today. Dr. Colm Henry is the HSE's Chief Clinical Officer, and he's in our Cork studio. Dr. Henry, thank you for being with us.
Good afternoon, Justin.
We'll talk to you in a moment about case numbers, but first, we know that 30,000 people last week were due to get the AstraZeneca vaccine. They didn't get it because it was stopped due to safety concerns. How long now will it take to catch up on those people?
Well, we started the moment we got the green light from NIAC. We were able to arrange with some hospitals to restart with some vaccines they had in stock on Saturday, albeit in small numbers yesterday and greater numbers today across Cavan, Kerry, Connolly, Beaumont hospitals to begin again the spread of this AstraZeneca vaccine between healthcare workers and, of course, those category four group, the people with people age 18 to 69 with underlying conditions. So as regards catching up, we're confident we'll be able to cover those people whose appointments were cancelled over the past week or paused. Over the next 7 to 10 days, we'll have them covered.
Okay, now, are there any indications of vaccine hesitancy after that decision to stop the vaccine last week over fears about clotting?
Well, I can see how people might see this as a setback to the programme, but it's important to put this in context. The EMA reinforced this message that this is a very safe and effective vaccine and that the benefits greatly outweigh any risks. And this is a very rare signal, a signal of a very rare clotting disorder that occurs in very small numbers of people. And bear in mind that upwards of 20 million people have received this vaccine. So what I'm hoping is, and we all hope, is that as with any other vaccination programme or medication, that people will accept that we had to pause this in order to assess the significance of this signal that came up in very small numbers of cases. That has been assessed by the safety committee of the EMA, and we completely accept that in this country. We're restarting the programme. And any medication people have, I have here in front of me, for example, a medication information leaflet for a commonly used antibiotic will have a list of common side effects and those rare associated side effects. And people will, I hope, be able to make their own judgment. This is something that's very rare, and that the overall benefits of this vaccine are quite substantive in terms of reducing the impact of what is a very serious virus in terms of illness, hospitalisation and death.
Okay, but if somebody has a genuine concern, if perhaps they've had, I mean, the people who are getting this vaccine have underlying health conditions, can they opt for a different vaccine other than the AstraZeneca vaccine? There are two other vaccines that are being used. Could they take one of those?
We're not in a position to give an alternative to the AstraZeneca vaccine to that group four, to people with underlying conditions. We're confident, based not just on the experience of trials, but on the real-world experience as this vaccine is used, particularly in England and Scotland, where we see large reductions in hospitalisation, large reductions in all age groups, that this is a safe and effective vaccine, and that's the vaccine we'll be offering to people in that particular group.
I want to ask you about case numbers. There were 525 new cases yesterday, 9 more deaths. What's your understanding about where the trends are heading now? Because we have been hearing from GPs that there are an increased number of referrals for testing, which usually precedes a rise in cases.
What we were worried about last week was a trend, and the trend is more definitive now, and there's a definite stagnation in the numbers of cases. We're seeing a stubbornly high level of new cases identified every day of the order of 500 or 600, and our 14-day incidence, which is used as another metric, 150, which again has stagnated, and that famous R value, that cumulative measurement of all the individual millions of interactions we all have in any one particular week, is stuck on 1, which means that the disease is stable or increasing. So you're quite correct, there are some signals of concern that sometimes anticipate deteriorations in some of these numbers, and one of those is increased referrals from GP for testing. Another, of course, is that close contacts of established cases, very high percentage positivity of about 24%, and 1 in 3 of household close contacts are positive. So there's a lot of illness out there. It hasn't gone away, and it's much higher than it was in early December. And so long as we see that illness out there, it's going to convert into ongoing stream of admissions into hospitals, and that's what we're seeing.
What's contributing then to this continued high level of disease, the stagnation that you talk about? We did have the return of schools. Is that a factor?
There's no evidence that schooling has played into this. We have, since schools have opened, we've seen a small number of outbreaks. There's been public health risk assessments in a number of schools, and the overall positivity in the contacts within school settings is much, much lower than community. And this reinforces the message that we learned here and the experience we had here in this country and abroad, that community transmission represents a much greater threat to schools than the other way around.
So what is it then? I mean, is it finer weather? People are just tired of it? What is causing this renewed concern that you've expressed there and the increased number of referrals that GPs are talking about, suggesting that the virus is growing again?
Well, undoubtedly, people are suffering and they're exhausted, and people have made enormous sacrifices the past year, and it becomes more difficult with every surge for people to be asked to make the same sacrifices again. The virus, it doesn't suffer from fatigue. It has only one. All it knows what to do, insofar as it knows anything, is to transmit between individuals, which it does at a very effective way and a very opportunistic way. Any time it's given the opportunity to transmit between individuals, it will take that.
So it's more contact between people. Can I ask you then, in that context, consideration is being given now to, we understand, or at least it's being reported, that consideration is being given by the government to extending the 5 kilometre limit and to relaxing restrictions on things like construction again. Can those restrictions be lifted safely if the virus has stagnated or is possibly increasing?
Well, those decisions, decisions about construction or any other part of reopening, will be a decision for government based on the public health that they'll get from NPHET. What I would say is there is certainly public health, in addition, recognition of the huge impact this is having on people's well-being, on their mental health, and that's not to mention the other sacrifices and forms of suffering people have had over the past year, the isolation, the cocooning. So certainly what I'd like to see, we'd all like to see the numbers get down lower, because the lower they get, the more choices we have as society, and that's a good thing for everybody. In the meantime, with the summer coming, we'd certainly like to see some focus on health and well-being in terms of what people can do outdoors, and certainly from a personal perspective as a clinician, I'd like to see, particularly for those older people who've had to be cocooned, is that as they get fully vaccinated, we'd like to see some easing of the advice given to them, that they will allow them the same level of advice given to other people, it's focused largely on people's health, well-being, and what can happen safely outdoors at the moment. Matters regarding reopening, building or otherwise, certainly a matter for government.
Okay. What can you tell us about hospital admissions? If many of our older people now are vaccinated, who is going to hospital at the moment with this disease?
Well, we're seeing, if we look at what we've done, the level one of the category one of the patients, of people we covered, were those residential care settings. And we've covered, all those residents and healthcare staff working residential care settings. And we already see big drop in outbreaks in that cohort. We're now moving, as you mentioned earlier, towards people with underlying conditions who are particularly at risk of COVID. But it will be some time before we have covered these groups totally in dose one and dose two to afford them protection. And it's worth bearing in mind too that hospitalizations aren't exclusive to older people. They're not exclusive to people with underlying conditions. We've seen many young, middle-aged people admitted to hospital with no underlying conditions. And so long as we have high levels of community transmission, we will see ongoing admissions to hospital of all age groups, but greater protection given to those particularly in vulnerable and older age groups who've been fully vaccinated.
Can I ask you about testing? Because Professor Anthony Staines from DCU, he gave the HSE some credit in the Irish Times yesterday for the vaccination programme, but he was highly critical of the testing and tracing regime. Why are we still not tracing the virus back to the source of an outbreak?
Well, for about 70 or 80% of cases, we do know the source, because it's people who have been designated as close contacts, or those who in particular outbreaks, and the outbreaks are described in the reports that come through every week. In about 20 to 30% of cases, we don't know. Now, public health departments do carry out some degree of source investigation. For example, people coming from those designated category two countries of particular risk, and certain settings such as healthcare settings or school settings, for example, some degree of source investigation is carried out. out. But it is our intention now, as the numbers fall, and that's what we want to see, that as the numbers fall, that we carry out a source investigation working with our contact management programme and local public health departments in that remaining 20 to 30% for whom no particular source was identified.
Professor Stain says we would need thousands of more contact tracers to break those connections and track down those the new strains of the virus. Is he right that we will need more contact tracers?
Based on current levels of disease, which are far too high, we would. But the most effective measures based on the current level of disease is not source investigation. It's the population measures designed to break down the transmission of the disease. And that's why source investigation becomes much more effective as a tool, as it prevents resurgence of disease once you get suppression of community transmission, rather than as a tool against high levels of community transmission.
All right. Dr. Colm Henry, Chief Clinical Officer with the HSE, thank you very much indeed for coming into our Cork studio.